How did they know me?
You tell me. Nobody spoke.
And there are three of them, Reacher said. One to guard Kate and Jade, wherever they took them. One to watch Gregory's back while he walked south on West Broadway, on a cell phone to a third, who was waiting to move in and pick up the keys as soon as it was safe.
Nobody spoke.
And they're based a minimum 200 miles upstate, Reacher said. Let's assume the initial action went down before about 11 o'clock yesterday morning. But they didn't call for more than 5 hours, because they were driving. Then they issued instructions at 5 o'clock for a ransom drop more than 6 hours later, because they needed the 6 hours, because the two of them had to drive all the way back. 5, 6 hours? That's 200 miles. Maybe 250, maybe more.
Why upstate? Lane said.
They could be anywhere.
Not south or west, Reacher said.
Or they would have asked for the ransom car south of Canal, so they could head straight for the Holland Tunnel. Not east on Long Island, or they would have wanted to be near the Midtown Tunnel. No. North on 6th was what they wanted. That implies they were happy to head up toward the George Washington Bridge, or the Henry Hudson and the Sawmill, or the Triborough and the Major Deegan. Eventually, they hit the Thruway, probably. They could be in the Catskills, or anywhere. A farm, probably. Certainly somewhere with a big garage block or a barn.
Why?
They just inherited your Mercedes-Benz, right after hijacking whatever Taylor drove to Bloomingdale's yesterday. They need a place to hide them.
Taylor was driving a Jaguar.
There you go. Their place must look like a luxury car lot by now.
Why are you so sure they're going to call back?
Because of human nature.
Right now, they're mad as hell. They're kicking themselves. They know you, but maybe not all that well. They took a chance and asked for $1 million in cash, and you bagged it up without a moment's hesitation. You shouldn't have done that. You should have gambled and stalled, because now they're saying, damn it, we should have asked for more. They're saying we should have tested the limits. So they're going to get back on the phone and hit you up for another chunk. They're going to feel out exactly how much cash you've got lying around. They're going to bleed you dry.
Why wait so long?
Because it's a significant change in strategy, Reacher said.
Therefore, they're arguing about it. They've been arguing about it all day. That's human nature, too. Three guys always argue, pro and con. Stick to the plan or improvise, play it safe or take the risk.
Nobody spoke.
How much have you got in cash? Reacher asked.
I'm not going to tell you.
$5 million, Reacher said. That's what they'll ask for next. The phone is going to ring and they're going to ask for another $5 million.
Seven pairs of eyes turned toward the phone.
It didn't ring.
In another car, Reacher said.
They must have a big barn.
Is Kate safe? Lane asked.
Right now, she's as safe as houses, Reacher said. She's their meal ticket.
And you did the right thing, asking to hear her voice the first time. That set up a good pattern. They'll have to repeat it.
The problem will come after they've had the last payment. That's the toughest part of any kidnap. Giving the money away is easy. Getting the person back is hard.
The phone stayed silent.
So should I stall? Lane asked.
I would, Reacher said. Parcel it out. Keep it going. Buy some time.
The phone didn't ring.
No sound in the room except the hiss of cooled air and men breathing low.
Reacher glanced around. Everyone was waiting patiently. Special Forces soldiers were good at waiting. For all the occasional spectacular action they saw, they spent a lot more time waiting, standing by, passing the time in readiness. And then, 9 times out of 10, they were stood down, action canceled. The phone didn't ring.
Good conclusions, Lane said, to nobody in particular, through the silence.
Three guys, far away, upstate, on a farm.
But Reacher was completely wrong. Just 4 miles away, through the electric city darkness, right there on the island of Manhattan, A lone man pushed open the door to a small, hot room. Then he stepped back. Kate Lane and her daughter Jade passed in front of him without meeting his eyes. They stepped inside the room and saw two beds. The beds looked hard and narrow. The room felt damp and unused. The window was draped with black cloth. The cloth was duct-taped to the walls, across the top, across the bottom, down both sides. The lone man closed the door and walked away. Chapter 5. The phone rang at exactly 1 o'clock in the morning. Lane snatched it out of the cradle and said, "Yes." Reacher heard a faint voice from the earpiece, distorted twice, first by a machine, and then again by a bad connection. Lane said, "What?" And there was a reply. Lane said, "Put Kate on the phone. You've got to do that first." Then there was a pause, and then there was a different voice, a woman's voice, distorted, panicked, breathy. It said just one word, possibly Lane's name, and then it exploded in a scream. The scream died into silence, and Lane screwed his eyes shut, and the electronic robot voice came back and barked 6 short syllables. Lane said, "Okay, okay, okay," and Reacher heard the line go dead. Lane sat in silence, his eyes clamped shut, his breathing fast and ragged. Then his eyes opened and moved from face to face and stopped on Reacher's. $5 million, he said. "You were right. How did you know?" "It was the obvious next step," Reacher said. 1, 5, 10, 20. "That's how people think." "You've got a crystal ball. You can see the future. I'm putting you on the payroll, $25,000 a month, like all these guys." "This isn't going to last a month," Reacher said. "It can't. It's going to be all over in a couple of days." "I agreed to the money," Lane said. "I couldn't stall. They were hurting her." Reacher nodded, said nothing. Gregory asked, "Instructions, Lyda?" "In an hour," Lane said. The room went quiet again. More waiting. All around the room, men checked their watches and settled back imperceptibly. Lane put the silent handset back in the cradle and stared off into space, but Reacher leaned forward and tapped him on the knee. "We need to talk," he said quietly. "About what?" "Background. We should try to figure out who these guys are." "Okay," Lane said vaguely. "We'll go to the office." He stood up slowly and led Reacher out of the living room and through a kitchen to a maid's room in back. It was small and plain and square and had been fixed up as an office. Desk, computer, fax machine, phones, file cabinets, shelves.